The following is a Dog on a Hill production in association with Dimitri Media. This is the Magpies and the Phoenix podcast, a special edition. It's called But Only Angels Look Before They Tread. This podcast, and a number I think I will do on this, is really looking at how I got into non-league football, what had happened previously to make me move to non-league football, the love that I'd lost for the game over the last 10 years especially, but probably since the 2004 FA Cup final, and just a general look back into my football memories and football life, really, as a football supporter, as a hopeless player, absolutely hopeless. I think I, in my whole life, ever played two games of 90-minute organised football, the last being a 4-1 defeat, and I never played for that team again. But we won't go there. This is more about how did I become such a non-league football addict? And essentially, first of all, it's my personality. One of the things I remember a friend of mine at university saying is when I got into something, I really did get into something. I had quite an addictive personality. At that point, he was talking about me smoking, which I've now been off for very nearly 20 years. But I got that because when I do fall for something, I really do fall for it. Baseball. It was one big one for me in the early 2000s and the Boston Red Sox. The NBA in the 90s with Michael Jordan. And going home and away with Millwall for what must have been really 14 to 15 years regularly, not missing a handful of games a season. That'd be about as many as I did. It all started for me at Millwall back in October of 1979, the 23rd of October, in fact, when Millwall played Reading on a Tuesday night. My cousin took me. I was 10 years old. I'd just moved to the house that I'm just about selling at the moment in London. And that hooked me. And although for a while I was off football, I was off away from Millwall, sorry, not football, but I was away from Millwall for a bit. I came back in 1985, the Millwall Crystal Palace game in the FA Cup, and then really, really back in the promotion season of 87 and right at the start of that promotion season. I didn't hook myself onto that bandwagon until, like others did, I was there at the start. I saw the second home game, I think, of the season against Birmingham City and was there for the rest of it. So it was a great, great season, one of the most memorable moments of my footballing life. The last Millwall game I saw in person was on the 30th of January 2016. That was a home game against Crewe Alexandra. My friend had got me in for one of those cheap tickets. And just remembered for most of the game, just going, please can this be over? Please can this be over? I just didn't enjoy it. And yet, I am a Millwall supporter through and through. I still will never change and can't change. That's not something Millwall picked me, I didn't pick them. It just felt like nothing to me. I just didn't get any real vibe or feeling back. And I think my mate hoped I did, but no. And I haven't been back to see Millwall in person since. I've thought about it. I've tried to think about it. I've thought, is this a good idea? And then I always think, I've not got anything better to do with £30 of my money. And it does come down to that. The effort and the time it takes now to get, or it was taking to get to the Den, was just not worth it. And yep, it's quite brutal, it's quite monetary. One other thing I can do, and I've done quite a lot in recent years, is if we want to give something up, give it up cold turkey, and it works for me. So yeah, I haven't been back since 2016. My last game on a season ticket was on the 14th of April 2012, a game against Leicester City, who'd be league champions within a few years. So it makes a bit of a paradox of the reason I gave up was there's no hope when the last team I saw on my season ticket was Leicester City, who went on to win the league 4 years later. In that game, some bloke called Harry Kane scored for Millwall. He went on to do something, I think. He was reasonably good. But by that time, I think every ardour had died in it. I didn't like the Championship. I thought it was just too much of a grind. Kenny Jackett's football was, yeah, not great to watch. I knew exactly why he did it. He was a great coach for Millwall. He did great things for Millwall, but the lustre had gone. And I'd be fed up with the Premier League and everything that it dominated. So I drifted away from football. Obviously, I still like the international stuff, still watch the World Cups, European Championships, like, you know, most football supporters. Some of the big games, that even then, Champions League bores me senseless. I just really don't have that feeling for it anymore. So, how did non-league football capture me? And that is still, in some ways, a little bit of a mystery to me. Let me take you back to early October 2020, you know, in the middle of the pandemic. We'd been let out of lockdown for that part of the summer and that early autumn, and we'd taken a chance to book a week away in Devon. I hadn't been to Devon since I was a child, and even then I'd only just crossed into the border, not including trips to Plymouth Argyle. I don't really class football trips as being trips to areas, to be brutally honest, until you get in and largely get out. Oh, sorry, and I went to a wedding in Plymouth, I think back in the '93, I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm sure the Ashes was on that year when I was down there. So it's my first proper holiday in Devon, and it was a really good trip, really enjoyed it. But if you remember now, it's 2 years ago, in the middle of the pandemic. It seems like decades ago. It sounds really weird, and it's so sort of recent. But it does seem ages ago. Anyway, we stayed about 5 or 6 miles south of Bidford. And learning the routes around town and learning the way out to the main roads and so on and so forth. One day I came over the bridge and turned left at the roundabout and drove down into the centre of Bidford. And on the right-hand side was a football ground, where I thought, I wonder what goes on behind there. The obvious answer is football, of course, you'd map it, but I was sort of intrigued. Who they play? Where? What league are they in? And because the one thing that struck me about Bidford's ground, well, they're very tall floodlights, the old-fashioned type, you know, but quite tall and quite impressive. So I thought, oh, I wonder what that's all about. Stuck it away in my memory bank and promised that next time I go, I might even have a go, see what it's like. Why not? Nothing to lose. And it sort of stuck with me. It was a horrible weather week for us, and we drove past that ground every time. It seems to be shrouded in mist and rain and dreadful weather. But yeah, it just had that aura, that little bit of mysticism about it when I was thinking about, you know, what should I do about going to do something, get something to be enthused about, which is one thing the pandemic took quite a lot away from. It's the enthusiasm of things that you used to enjoy and used to like to do. You know, I didn't really fancy cricket. I was going off that because if you know anything about my blogging life, I used to write blogs called How Did We Lose in Adelaide and Being Outside Cricket, where I got pretty angry about the state of the sport. And being angry about a sport is not a good future for your health. And not really something you should be partaking in. Feeding your hatred all the time is actually quite destructive. So, yeah, stuck it away in the memory bank. And we really, really liked Devon. So we come back in May. Of course, there was no football going on then because non-league had stopped for the pandemic. So we came back in May for a holiday then. And then, because we love it so much, we stay in the same place every time. We came back in October. Now, before I came down in October, the week before, I saw that Bidford had a home game on the Saturday against Paulton Rovers. I used to think they were called Paulton, P-A-W, but it's Paulton, as in P-A-U-L-T-O-N. And I thought, right, I'm going to see if I can go. But there was one burning question on my mind, and this shows you how my priorities have changed. I emailed the club and said, look, I'm looking to come to a football match on Saturday. And I've got a dog. Do you allow dogs into the ground? And what really surprised me, within probably about 2 hours, I got an email back. Yeah, sure, great. Bring your dog along. That's fantastic. We'll see you on Saturday. Oh, all right. Well, okay then. I'm definitely going. I owe them that. Nothing else now. They've got back to me. And I thought, this is different. I had a previous experience with a Millwall admin who treated me like I wasn't anything, like dirt. Actually lied to the fan representative's face about how he dealt with me. So to be treated so nicely early on was like, well, that's really, really different. So anyway, we went down on holiday. We drove down, I think, on the Thursday, and on the Saturday, the weather wasn't too great. But yeah, we went to the game. Me, my wife, and my dog, Teddy, and paid on the gate. And really really enjoyed it. And that's how it started. Let me just read you the excerpt that I wrote of the blog post, which is called, and I'll just quickly get to it. Yeah. Let me just read you what I wrote. The weather had been rubbish, but cleared at around 2 p.m. So the wife, Teddy, the border collie, and I made a decision to go to the football. Yeah, as if Teddy had to say. Biddeford against Poulton Rovers. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Me of nearly 1,000 games in person, I think, and yet this was my first football game in person in around 5 years. I think the striking moment was when I emailed the club to ask if dogs were allowed, and I got a response within minutes. It might have been hours. Yes, absolutely. You can come. Bring Teddy. I was really pleasantly surprised. My dealings with football admin previously had been lamentable, and that's being charitable. I thought I'd certainly make an effort now, but not if it was raining. Not that much of an effort. The game itself was okay. Poulton won 2-0, but the home goalkeeper, Adam Seedhouse Evans, had a terrific game and kept the score down with a series of excellent saves. My big memory about Adam Seedhouse Evans is they just signed him from Barnstable, having a shocking season, letting goals in for fun. If you can let goals in for fun. And when he came out, the Biddeford fans booed him. He had an absolute storm. He made one fantastic save in the first half. I really can't describe it. It was a brilliant, brilliant save. The YouTube clip is online. You can probably see it if you look hard enough. Anyway, come back to the piece. I was pleasantly surprised by the quality and the attempts to play football on a surface that was hardly ideal. And I was surprised at how competitive it felt and how real it was. I couldn't at any point look at the players out there and thought they were going through the motions. How patronising to think that they would. To show how sad I am, I bought a scarf. I took pictures of Teddy in front of the very witty and very bitter home support and had a very good afternoon. The seed had been planted. But what was I going to do with it? You saw what happened. I went to Holsworthy 3 days after. Indeed I did. So why did I go to Holsworthy? Well, I was really enthused about the game. I really enjoyed my time at Biddeford. I liked the fact I could park just round the corner and it was free. Yeah, it's always money with me. But also, my wife quite enjoyed it. Got some cracking pictures of Teddy for the calendar this year. So I thought, right, okay, where can we go next? So I looked up. Biddeford weren't playing at home on the Tuesday. Pretty sure Barnstable weren't either. I think that would have been a look. So I went down to the other levels, trying to find what other leagues there were, and it was the South West Peninsula League. And about 10 to 12 minute drive from where we actually stay, and it's a much easier drive than the other way to Torrington, was a town called Holsworthy. Holsworthy is an old market town on the border of Cornwall and just about inside Devon. It's about 6 to 7 miles east of Bude. Never heard of it before I've been down to Devon. Not many people up here have heard of it. But it's a nice little town, and on the outskirts as you drive in to the roundabout, which actually takes you to Bude, on the right is Upcott Field, the home of Holsworthy AFC. So I decided to go on the Tuesday night, and they were playing Crediton. And yeah, the rest, as you say, is history. But not quite straight away history, because I didn't really fall for Holsworthy on that night. It was an interesting game of football with some interesting characters. I didn't know, obviously I don't know the people that I do now at that club, but it was not an obvious thing that I was going to be a Holsworthy fan. In the next part, after the little breather I'll take, I'll explain to you why I became a Holsworthy fan. I'm not one of those people that particularly likes non-linear storytelling, but I think for the Holsworthy effect, I do have to actually jump forward a little bit to Boxing Day of that year. The fixtures had lined up, and the one that really interested me at the time, fair way out, was the Torrington Derby, or El Torrico, as the locals, or certainly the locals at Torryside, called it, between Torrington and Torryside. That was due to be played on Boxing Day. The real fixture I was looking at for that Christmas period was the game between Barnstable and Biddeford. So there was a chance to get a game in on Boxing Day, the Barnstable-Biddeford game being on the 27th. And I thought, yeah, that's going to be the one. And then a few weeks before, maybe a couple of weeks before, I did look again at fixtures and saw that Oakhampton were playing Holsworthy. And by this point, I'd been sort of following Holsworthy's results purely just because I'd been to one of their games and they'd won. And so, you know, gave a few comments on Twitter here and there about my support and all that, but it wasn't overly serious and I wasn't overly sort of, you know, leaning towards the game. Actually, as it turned out, the Torrington game was postponed, but I had made my decision before then that the Oakhampton was going to be where I go. See, one of the big reasons I wouldn't go to Oakhampton on Boxing Day, and wait for this one, is when you go from where we stay in Devon, you've got to go across this road that cuts out Torrington, Great Torrington, to get onto the road down to Oakhampton. And that road terrifies me. There are very few roads in the country that terrifies me, but that one does. It's one of those where you've got very limited places to park. It's a pass. It's a single, almost a single track. And in May, when I drove up there, when a car was coming at the wrong time, I shredded one of my tyres and we were stuck there for 4 hours. So, yes, I've got a bit of a thing about that little road that cuts out Torrington and gets you onto the main A road down to Oakhampton. But it's Boxing Day. There can't be that many cars coming that way. Or I'll do that 15-minute detour, 10-15-minute detour into Torrington and back. Doesn't really matter, does it? But by that time, the Oakhampton Twitter feed had been saying, come on down, come and see us, come and see us. And, you know, I'm a bit of an attention seeker, let's be frank about it. And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. Why not? Let's do it. My wife didn't mind. It'd be good to get out of the house. I actually thought the Torrington game was going to kick off at 3 o'clock and I was going to try and do two, but that was not ever going to be ever the case anyway. So I drove down the road to Oakhampton, where they were playing the Argyle, what is a sort of school playing fields really, but with a fenced off pitch. Free parking again, always important for me, free parking. And so it was just me this time. I didn't go with my wife and dog. And it was a cold day, it was quite wet. And I got into the ground, took my place to the right of the two benches. And I think it was Ryan. I can't be 100% sure, but Ryan Hall, their manager, comes up to me and he says, you're the London fan, aren't you? And I said, is that a giveaway? I hadn't even spoken at this point. And he said, that obvious? Of course, as soon as I spoke, it was obvious I was from London. And he said, no, we're really pleased that you support us. It's great. The lads really, really like it that you're on board. And it's like, what? Really? Just like a few tweets. He said, we're really, really thankful for the support. Because the joke I made was I was the chairman of the London Holsworthy Sports Club Membership 1. If there is another member of the Holsworthy Sports Club in London, please let me know. So at this point, he says, do you collect badges? He said, no, I'm not one of those. And he went, oh, we've got you one anyway. And so he gave me it. And at this point, I almost choked up with tears. It's like, what are they doing this? Why are they doing this? What is this for? I wasn't writing blogs about him. I wasn't doing anything like that. And yet he gave me a badge. And I thought, you've got me. You've got me for life now. How dare you? How damn you for this? Then Lee, the assistant manager, joint manager came up and it was like, why are they interested in me? It's weird. It's really strange. But of course, since I've been going around non-league football, I've actually found that's not the case. There's lots of people really interested in what you do and how you do it. But at this point, it was completely new to me. So why did I get into Holsworthy prior to that? What made me go all that way down that steep hill that you get coming out of Stibbs Cross on the way down to the Upcott Field? Why did I do it? Let me just read you my excerpt. I'm not parking in that car park. I know that for certain. Yeah, the car park was right by the pitch and I'd seen them warming up. I didn't fancy another incident with my car in Devon. So I flipped the car around at the roundabout and I parked it on the street outside. Note, second game I went to, I didn't park inside the ground either. I pointed the car back to Langtree, where we've returned to, visiting the same cottage for the same third time. Not telling you where it is, it's too good. We do like it down here. I pay my £5 at the booth and collect the paper programme. I sit in the tiny main stand and settle back. Well, not too far, because this is a bench, there's no back to the seats. It's not a seat, not for Holsworthy versus Crediton in the South West Peninsula League East, step 6 of the football pyramid. this doesn't feel very far east to me. It feels a long way west. Holsworthy are by, I think, the most westerly team in the Southwest Peninsula League. But if they'd moved to the west, it could have quite difficult consequences for them, which we'll explain in another podcast I'm doing. Anyway, it's an interesting night as the home team ran out 3-1 winners. I have a brief conversation with the linesman. I also find myself sitting next to the visiting chairman, who isn't happy with Ollie Bray. Holsworthy's forward player is a little bit of an edge to him. He left the boot in and we did see it. Certainly the chairman of the Crediton did, because he shouted at him. The game itself ebbed and flowed on a difficult surface, and Tom Bray's two goals were the main difference. Ollie Bray got the other with a chip, made it look like he'd done it all his life with his celebration. It was enjoyable, but while I liked the whole vibe, my soul didn't feel stirred at all. However, this is where social media does play a part, because the manager Ryan gets involved and a hook was dangled. In many ways, I didn't know what was coming. I thought I'd follow their progress, but didn't think I'd make a beeline back when there were so many other teams to see in the area. And that's the absolute truth. I walked out and, yeah, enjoyed the night. It was a good game of football. It won 3-1 and really, you know, pleasant. But when I walked out, I didn't think, yeah, I'm going to come back here. But they got their hooks into me. Oh, yes, they got their hooks into me. Let me now take you to the excerpt that I wrote for the Christmas game. And it's on the post that I wrote about my football life. This was actually the first story that I put down. And he says scrolling, because this is really professional, this one, at this point in time. Bear with me, please, bear with me. Anyway, 26th of December, 2021, 10:30 a.m, Oakhampton. It'd been a first for Christmas Day, the first time in my 53 Christmas days I've ever spent it outside London. Indeed, the furthest I'd ever journeyed on Christmas Day was to Heathrow Airport to meet my wife as she cleared UK immigration processes a few years ago. A good few years on, we'd taken the plunge and driven down to Devon to spend Christmas in Langtree, a dot on the map, a very lovely dot on the map in a lovely area. One of the main attractions to me wasn't the clear fresh air, although that's nice, or even the solitude, because I have a brother I'm close to, and my parents are buried a 10-minute walk away and I always visit them on Christmas Day. I missed them both. What I was looking forward to was to see the Boxing Day football and in turn the 27th of December too. There were two games to choose from on that day. The closest to Langtree was El Torico, Torrington versus Torreyside. The other was about 40 minutes away in Oakhampton, where Holsworthy were playing. This was not an easy decision. I quite fancied the new ground down the road, but Oakhampton were top and Holsworthy intrigued me when I'd first seen them. I put these thoughts on Twitter and the Holsworthy feed had given me some encouragement as I'd been following their results and they had reacted. As someone who quite liked that attention, it made my mind up. I drive down to Oakhampton. This involved driving down a road which had cost me £120 for a burst tyre in May, a cut through to miss out Torrington, and believe me, this played a part in the decision making. I hate that road. The game itself finished 2-0 to Oakhampton. Holsworthy started quite well, played quite competitively first half, 0-0 at half time, probably fairly even as well. Second half, an early goal, I think from a goalkeeping mistake, and then a penalty. It might have been the other way around, but they lost 2-0. But the pre-match stuff just absolutely blew me away. And I had been hooked. And that is where the story starts. To some degree ends in Holsworthy. Next, we talk about Phoenix. The music plays. The beginning of the theme tune to The Great Escape. I'm not sure quite what's happened to me in these preceding few minutes. This is an Isthmian League South East Division game between the club at the bottom and another on the fringes of the playoff places. A few weeks earlier, and the only Phoenix club I would know about was the one that Brian Potter headed up in the Peter Kay programme. Now I've experienced the football sensation I hadn't had for a very, very long time. A last minute winner, in the flesh, and I celebrated it on a cold, dark January night as if they were my own team. Not one I just visited out of curiosity and to do something on a Saturday afternoon. A few minutes earlier, deep into added on time, Phoenix and Sittingbourne are level at 1-1. Phoenix opened the scoring in the first half. Sittingbourne had equalised quite early in the second. The game looked like petering out into a draw, and I'd probably have tried Craypack Valley Paper Mills, much closer to my home, or VCD Athletic for my London non-league fix. I hadn't really taken to Cray Wanderers, having been to see them a few times. But throughout the game, there was a feeling there. This was a team bottom of the league, And for all the undoubted struggling they were going through, there was huge, huge effort. Honest endeavour. Real striving to get out of their predicament. Their heads had not dropped and they kept going. They were being outplayed, but not outfought. Into added on time and Phoenix win a corner. Like so many, it appeared to have come to nothing. The cross comes in, the ball's headed away outside the area. Hang about. Wait a minute. This ball's falling beautifully. Who's that? It's Phoenix centre-back Josh Dawling. No, I've always said that Phoenix is Josh Dawling's fault. The ball comes to him. He keeps his head down. He hits it through the players. Coming out of the box. It's low. It's hard. They're too tired. They don't see it. I don't know what's going on. The energy sapping surface has wilted their energy. I didn't write that. Just made that bit up. The ball finds a pathway through. The keeper's not seen it. He's unsighted. He can't move. He's helpless. And it's hit the back of the net. I have my notebook open, a Christmas present for my wife. Brown bound notebook, which I take everywhere, and everyone who sees me probably recognise it. Taking down details in my Christmas present from the beloved. As the ball goes in, without even thinking, without even realising what I'm doing, I just let out a huge, yes! As if this is my team that has scored. What am I doing? As if my team has scored. I think, even then, I sort of knew this was my team. Whether I liked it or not. My old mantra, you don't pick the team picks you. Yes, Josh Dawling, I blame you. I blame only you. Yeah, I did dram that one up a bit, but it's true. I turned up that Saturday. I'd been to see Cray Wanderers a couple of times, might be three times, and I really didn't like the 4G surface there, or 3G, whatever G it is. Too fast, just too fast. And although I saw quite a decent game against Horsham, which they won 3-1, I then sat through a 0-0 draw against Leatherhead, a 1-0 home defeat against Bognor Regis Town. And I could have gone again. I think actually the game I could have gone to that day ended 5-4. But instead I went to Phoenix Sports. And to be really honest with you, 2 months ago, I'd never, ever heard of them. But when I came back from Devon, I was looking for a South East London fix. Cray Wanderers was the obvious one. They played a few midweek fixtures. I think I only went midweek. I wasn't really looking to go Saturday afternoons. But then I saw Phoenix Sports. I saw they weren't based too far away, based in Barnhurst, or really for me, Crayford. That's the route I came in. And yeah, give it a go. And so I turned up and went through a little ritual I go through most of the time, not all the time, which I went to the, you know, paid my money, put in the car park over the road, paid my money, free car park, of course, and got my bacon roll and cup of tea. And then I walked round to the side of the pitch opposite where the manager's dugouts are. Knew nothing of their history. Just very nice. I knew they were bottom of the league and they had a pretty difficult time. And I met two guys there. And I still don't remember their names so bad. I really hope to see them, hopefully on Saturday week. I'm recording this when the Saturday week game is Rustle in the FA Cup. And yeah, I really enjoyed their company all afternoon. Just talking about old football memories. I mean, one was a Charlton fan, one I think supported Manchester United. And me, Millwall, just talking about some of the silly away trips back in the day. And it was just a really, really enjoyable afternoon. Phoenix took the lead in the first half while he'd scoring it. Sittingbourne equalised fairly early in the second half. They had quite a vocal, small away following, but still vocal, and you could hear them. And they took their place in the stand, attacking the goal that Sittingbourne were in. Sorry, at the end that Sittingbourne were attacking in the second half. I'd say the game was drifting to its close. It was going to be a hard-fought draw. There was a sending off just before the close, but then that goal. And when the goal went in, as I said, I got that feeling and that buzz of, I like this team. I like this team's story. They are going to have a real fight on their hands to get out of relegation. But I want to be with them in this. As much as I can, I would really like to be with them. And so, as I walked off and The Great Escape was playing, I just felt these could be the sort of people I'd like to follow. But I know in certain that time, you know, as a last minute winner is a last minute winner. And then I wrote a piece on them for my blog, 7 7/8 2. And it got a really fantastic reaction from Phoenix. And again, I told you, attention works. It's always a nice thing to do, and people being nice to you when you're nice to them is really important, and a good way of, you know, hitching your wagon to their car. What a terrible caravan to their car, whatever terrible bleeding analogy that is. But yeah, I'd say I was buzzing when I left, absolutely buzzing. Said definitely going to be here again. And then a few of the social media guys, like Billy and Mark, sort of saw what I wrote, and they sort of reacted to it. Anyway, so I decided, I think it was the following weekend, they were away at Sevenoaks. I thought, yeah, why not? Let's go and give that one a whirl. There's nothing to do on Saturday afternoon. It's only half an hour down the road, 40 minutes down the road. Did the research. There's a free car park. Okay, I can park the car nearby. That's not bad, not bad. And I went to Sevenoaks. And the rest, as they say, is history. We lost 2-0 there. It wasn't a great game. But the man who scored both goals for Sevenoaks that day, it's a fellow called Luke Leppard, who now just happens to be, if not my favourite player at Phoenix, one of my favourite players at Phoenix. But let's talk about the Luke Leppard experience and Sevenoaks in a second. Let me read you what I said about the Bourne Stadium, Sevenoaks, 22nd of January 2022. What the hell is it to do with him? Or words to that effect, screamed Steve O'Boyle as a Sevenoaks right back screams across from his position to the other side of the field to get one of the visiting players booked. Steve is not happy. He wouldn't be for the rest of the game, as the home side ran out 2-0 winners. The scorer of both goals, Luke Leppard, would sign for Phoenix and not score for them that season. On that day, it felt like a bad result. Hang about. I've driven to Sevenoaks for an away game. I hadn't done that with Millwall in the last 5 years of the season ticket holder drive to any away game. I've got a feeling I'm getting up to my neck in this. Yep, indeed I was. It was a 2-0 defeat. At that point, Sevenoaks were rivals in the relegation fight, but they pulled away. They got Glebe's manager and were never really threatened from the sort of last quarter of the season. They were quite comfortable. But I had driven down to Sevenoaks to watch an away game. I would go and see Phoenix two more times that season away, East Grinstead. And at Corinthian, I'm hoping I haven't missed one out. But even then, with the struggle they went through, they fought hard. They just didn't have the chances or the breaks that day. But Steve's passion just really got to me. He just seemed quite an angry fellow. Passionate, probably better word. With a bit of a funny edge in him. You've got some sense of humour there within the rage. But I think Steve was one of the clinching factors, you know. I just quite took to him straight away. I saw a man struggling to keep his composure whilst his team were fighting for dear life, and he clearly inspired them. I sort of found out his history with the club. He was a bit of a hero for theirs back in the old Skeffel days, the Step 5 Southern Counties East Football League. And he'd come back, he'd been away for a few years, and came back when Phoenix had been in a terrible, terrible run. Hadn't won, I think, might even have lost 14 games. And he came back and they started to win a couple of games again. It's obvious he's got Phoenix in his blood. And sadly enough, or was it sadly? Because it's made me quite happy, actually. I think I've got it in me too now. So as you probably can tell, I've been pretty much doing this off the top of my head. I think it shows through this podcast, to be very honest with you, that I have been. And I don't want to fire off all my material just for this first one, because there's a lot more to say about the emotions and about how Don Lee football has gripped me, and how especially Phoenix, and to a lesser degree, but no less important in many ways, holes where we have to. I keep saying that. I always bunch the two together. That's why the podcast and this is called The Magpies and The Phoenix, because they are two sides of the same coin. But it's struck me quite a lot as I come back to recording this now. Today is the 30th of August. I'll release this today and then I'll do a full podcast for my usual episodes for this season a bit later in the week. But give something to listen to if anyone's interested. But the important part about Phoenix in particular is this season, so far, I've gone to every single Phoenix game. And I am moving house. I'm moving down to Hampshire.
hopefully by the end of the month, end of September, sorry, not end of August, end of September. And Phoenix, as much as I want to come as often as I can to see them, I know in my heart of hearts that it's going to be a once or twice a month thing, tops. Cost of living, money, and it is important, isn't it? And you can't get away from that fact. Yeah, I am not, you know, able just to come up and see Phoenix play a game. A trip, an away trip to Deal, for example, would be probably equivalent of going to see, I don't know, Stoke City away. You know, I don't just have that time and inclination to do it. Or maybe I do. That's what even possibly even frightens me a bit. But what has come out from Phoenix, and especially this season, having seen every game, and I think, you know, everyone there will confess, they've not played well yet this year, yet they're still unbeaten. They are through and won each of their three cup ties, drawn two in the league, one very disappointing away draw at Welling where they played really poorly. But they had a great game against Glebe at home. I really enjoyed that one. It's probably the best games I've seen in quite a while. The numbers and the matches and the statistics and all that, they all mean a bit. Of course they do. I like watching players like, you know, Alfie and Luke and you know, even Ryan when he's on the mood, in the mood, or you know, good old Millwall legend, no, that's a bit strong, former Millwall player Dave Martin. It's good, and yeah, and watching the honest endeavour of a lot of really decent people, and off the field, the chairman, the secretary, the kit guys, just the people I go with, Dave, his kids, just brilliant. There was my dog sighing in the background, professional studio, this. It's just touched an emotional nerve that is really, really hard to describe. And it does make me sad that I'm going to be missing a lot of it. And yeah, it's almost as if I found something really, really good. And for really, really decent reasons, there's a lot of reallys in that, I'm having to give it up. I have to get out of London. It's just doing my soul in, to be honest with you. And we do really, really, again, there's a lot of reallys again, do love the life in Devon, but I can't commute from there. And this is something that we see is quite near to that sort of lifestyle. And it's important because I think it will take a lot of the stress of living in a city out from underneath, and that's massively important too. And yeah, I'm looking at Andover New Street, Andover Town, to see if they, you know, when I go down and see if they may find a place in my heart. But I am still mentally making plans to go and see Phoenix, and that is just how they've got to me. It's said, the team chooses you, you don't choose them. They didn't give me a choice. They really didn't give me a choice. Even when they were getting beaten big time at home, I've not yet seen one of those games, thankfully. But they put up some pretty insipid away performances at the end of last season. Not for the want of trying. Seriously, not for the want of trying. They were just a bit outgunned, to be honest. They still had me. And I loved their story. And I felt like I was betraying them because I couldn't go to their final game of the season. Just to be there when they went down. I felt like I was sort of missing the wake. It's just a really meaningful piece of my recent life, and you cannot underestimate how important that is. Something to look forward to. I really enjoy writing about it. Yeah, I enjoy the attention, but I like the writing. I like the pictures. I get actually to like the pictures a bit more than the writing these days, but I like the fact that it's appreciated by them, and it's really been that important to me. If I had the word really out of my dictionary, what would I do? It's been a thrill, and I owe them enormous amounts. I owe Ryan and the Holsworthy guys really enormous amounts too. Another really, it's just been an amazing experience. In the next part of this podcast, I'll go into some of the games that I went to towards the end of Phoenix's season. I'll bring in the other clubs that matter, Biddeford to a degree, which I obviously mentioned in the early part. Most importantly, also well up in London, Cray Valley Paper Mills, and especially Richard, the social media guy there. They are a really decent club as well. Got me in their hearts a bit. I will miss them. I think I've gone to my last game there for quite a while last Saturday. But the other clubs I've seen as well and been around to see in the non-league scene, and each of them have got their own little stories. Oxy Jets, I really enjoyed my time there. hello, Teddy, just come sit next to me for the finale. So I'm going to have to try editing that because the internet went down during the middle of that. Anyway, this is the end of this podcast. I don't know if Teddy had anything to do with that. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you see what non-league football means to me. And to say, in the second part, I'll talk about Cray Valley Paper Mills. I'll talk about a few more games with Phoenix and with Holsworthy and what the future holds. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. And the main podcast will be out at the end of this week, all being well. See you later.